some of these steps we've taken to make sure government isn't giving you benefits that you can spend on candy and soft drinks loaded up with sugar, adding work requirements for people who do receive SNAP benefits, looking at the harmful effects of food dyes and other things that we put into our food, trying to get back to fitness and establishing some standards there, and making it easier for stuff to get directly from farm to the table.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95.
Thank you so much for your time, Governor Braun. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Very good.
Thank you for joining us. I know you have limited time and super busy schedule, so we're super grateful to have you.
Well, my pleasure to do it. We need to do it more often.
You got it. Just wanted to ask you a couple quick questions here. I know that you campaign on property taxes as a top issue. Are you happy with the final product that came out of the General Assembly?
Well, I look at it this way. When I found out how, as a senator, in a place as difficult as it is to get anything done, we figured out the process of how do you get legislation across the finish line. And number one, you got to understand the process. Number two, you're going to have to deal with all kinds of disparate views in terms of where they are coming from, where you want to go, and try to end up with the best product you can end up with. And this is a difficult process because we haven't addressed the issue formally in 20 years. It took Mitch Daniels, if you think about it, 4 years to get to a point where they had a product. Here, it was easy in the sense that there was a crescendo of concerns across the state. I visited all 92 counties, so I was hearing it. That doesn't necessarily mean legislators are hearing the same thing. So when I put the initial package out there, it was to at least be as bold as we thought we could possibly be, knowing that it had to go through two chambers. And once you're talking about doing anything that's going to impact government, look at it in D.C. Look at the fight you're looking at. There's going to be some wrestling, some back and forth. So it was a kind of tedious process. We knew we wouldn't get everything we put out there. But when you look at the final product, it is pretty significant, not to mention we did it in under 4 months. I think it's something that we can be proud of. Doesn't mean you rest upon those laurels, but it gives relief to the majority of Hoosier homeowners, helps farmers out significantly, helps small businesses out by raising that exemption amount, you know, on personal property taxes. Large businesses, mostly they're still impacted by it. So that tempers the impact on locals, both government and school districts. If we can make this kind of progress year after year, we pretty well put the whole issue to bed. So I think when they put it out there, Senate Bill 1, and then kind of took everything out of it in terms of what we wanted to do, that was setting the marker that it was going to be a big discussion back and forth. And if we hadn't gotten it to where it was, 10% credit, all kinds of transparency into the process, something was in the fine print that by 31, homesteads will be two-thirds exempted on the assessed value, a bunch of other stuff, that's a lot of progress in 3.5 months. And the issue will be out there. But if we want to do anything further, it's going to take all the folks concerned about it, show up at your local school board meetings, go to your county council and city council meetings, make your voices heard so that your legislators know that you're showing up there, you even can get more done. So all in all, part of the process, I think we ended up in pretty good shape.
Boy, I would say that is very efficient. And I heard $1.5 billion over the next 3 years. Is that correct?
That is correct. And remember, again, there are a bunch of other smaller features, but this year going forward, we start moving the exemption up from where it is currently to where it'll be two-thirds on all homesteads by 2031. And then if we can get legislators interested, we start trying to add to that exemption after 31 to where it feathers out maybe into homesteads, you know, being something that you don't have to pay taxes on. But to get there, you need a lot of folks showing up, making that case in their own public meetings for schools and local governments. And these are things that we'll talk about and see if we can engender that kind of support. But we got a lot done in a short period of time with this.
I would attribute a lot to your entrepreneurial success in business as well. You actually made a statement before the campaign and you lived up to it. And that timeline is just unheard of when you narrow it down to politics and anything in the state house.
You got it. I agree.
You also made a big splash with some guests here recently from D.C. I know that Dr. Oz was here. I know that RFK was here in the Make Indiana Healthy Again announcement. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that initiative? What's driving that and what will it do?
Well, I've been real interested in following the Trump agenda of Make America Great Again and look at the wrestling match on stuff where for decades we've turned into a creditor from a creditor nation into a debtor nation, not only on our fiscal account, which now sports nearly $37 trillion in debt, but our trading account is about $1 trillion out of whack. So that means we've let the rest of the world's economy, you know, kind of take advantage of us. So that's one issue I'm paying attention to. But on a basic issue, which I addressed in my own company 17 years ago, having to always fend off, you're lucky it's only going up 5 to 10% on your health insurance bill. So we got a broken healthcare system that promotes expensive remediation and doesn't pay enough attention to wellness and prevention. And RFK is looking at a lot of the stuff that if we want to lower healthcare costs in general, we got to go at the core of what's causing it. So he and Dr. Oz come from that kind of anti-establishment approach to healthcare. Well, the establishment approach has given us a tapeworm on our economy where it's nearly 20% of our GDP. And when I started in my own business, career back in the early 80s, it was probably 7 or 8% of the GDP. So the insurance companies in a renewal meeting back 17 years ago said, you need to put more, once I told them I wasn't going to renew their plan that goes up that much each year, I became the insurance company as a cost center. That was entrepreneurial because most CEOs don't get involved in that HR renewal meeting. This is now incorporating at the federal level and our state level of emphasizing wellness and prevention, not expensive remediation. So when you got the particulars of some of these steps we've taken to make sure government isn't giving you benefits that you can spend on candy and soft drinks loaded up with sugar, adding work requirements for people who do receive SNAP benefits, looking at the harmful effect of food dyes and other things that we put into our food, you know, trying to get back to fitness and establishing some standards there, and making it easier for stuff to get directly from farm to the table. And these are just things that if we start on that pathway, that is how we make a healthier Indiana, a healthier America, and then get employees as healthcare consumers. So they start looking at that holistic approach rather than wanting either the government or their employer to pay for their expensive remediation when we've not put any effort into avoiding that in the first place.
You know, I think I saw an interview with you and I believe you said it perfect. You're trying to change the culture.
Change it from a culture of consumption and not only on the financial side of it, but bad consumption when it comes to how you manage your own health care. And these are things that take a while to turn around because the opposite approach has been built into our culture. So, and I'm glad that the Trump administration is trying to, you know, rein in a federal government that's, you know, been addicted to borrowing and spending, putting all that burden financially on future generations, and to where the system where we spend a fortune on health care, you know, and doesn't mind how much it costs, you know, now wants the government to mostly pay for it. So we need to get at the root cause of both. And I think the Trump administration is finally doing that because the numbers, you know, when you're paying as much on interest as you are on defense on the financial side, and now health care costs amount to 20% of our GDP, you know, where are we going as a country? Those are both two big issues.
Well, I'm grateful that you're championing those, Governor. What can Hoosiers do here in assisting your campaign, especially with those two bullet points?
Well, get out there and make sure they're managing their own well-being on the health care side. Pay attention to an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, and that should be across their diet, across their fitness, and to make sure when they do need the health care system, they become just as savvy as a health care consumer as they do in everything else they budget. And when it comes to my ability, I was the loudest voice on fiscal integrity when I was a senator. I'm going to keep harping on that even as a governor. And in our own state, I want to make sure that we run a lean state government. We're entrepreneurial in doing it. I'll ask that out of my cabinet secretaries. And I want Hoosiers to weigh in when they see something they don't think is working in our own state government. Tell us about it, because we're not going to turn a deaf ear. We're going to listen.
And I know you were the most effective first-term senator, so I know that will bleed into the governorship as well.
It definitely will. You can count on it.
Lastly, I wanted to let you know what an honor it is that obviously we get to speak to you today, but that we have a governor that really values faith, family, and community, as well as being a business owner and incorporating those business principles of, if there's a problem, let's fix it. Let's address it. Let's do it right now. Let's not wait. Let's not push it on the next generation, kick it down the road. Let's take care of it now. So we are very, very grateful that we have somebody with that culture mindset in the governorship.
Well, you know, it's been a pleasure to do it. And anybody that wants to get involved in government or politics, learn something in the real world first. Be entrepreneurial, know the issues. That's what made the job in the Senate easy in a most dysfunctional context. Here you get to set the agenda, work with a super supermajority in the legislature. So that idea of really doing some things unique, setting Indiana apart, is a real aspiration for me, and basing it on those principles of faith, family, community, freedom, and opportunity, feel real good about what, you know, stands in front of us here in Indiana.
Well said, Governor. Well, thank you so much for your time, Governor Braun. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. These issues are out there, and thank you again for showcasing them. That means a lot.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.